mercy. Towards us. God, we thank you for your goodness. And your mercy towards us. Despite us, God, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy towards us. God, we thank you, God, for your faithfulness, God. Because great is thou faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies. New mercies, God. All that we've needed. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
What I do. is what I do.
Thank you, God.
Hallelujah.
Praise is what I do.
Praise is what we do.
Is what I do.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
You're worthy, God. You're worthy, Jesus. Yeah, Jesus.
Praise is what I do.
Yeah, God. So worthy, God.
It's what I do.
Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
God, we worship you. We lift up your holy name. God, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy towards us. God, we praise you, we worship you, because praise is what we do. Father and our God, we come once again.
Jesus.
Once again. Once again before you, Lord God, to worship you, to praise you, to lift up your name, to give you glory and honor. All that you do, God, because of who you are in our lives. So yes, praise is what we do. Because God, we just believe that when we praise you, when the praises go up, the blessings come down. So God, we don't have to welcome you in this place. You're already here. So God, we thank you for your presence, God. Because when the presence of the Lord is, there is peace. There is healing. There is deliverance. So God, we thank you for your presence. So God, as I stand here, if there be anything in me that's not like you, I pray in the name of Jesus that you strip it away. That the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable to thee. So Holy Spirit, rise up in your people and meet their needs as only you can. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray and we celebrate you, God. Let the church say amen. Yes, God. Praise is what we do. Amen. Amen. Yes, God. Advent season. Communion Sunday, God, and yeah, we're going to celebrate you. We're going to worship you. And at this time, we're going to go to the word of the Lord, to Luke, the gospel according to Luke, as we begin to focus on this Advent season. Chapter 1 of Luke. Thank you, God. It starting with verse 5. So when you have the gospel according to Luke chapter 1, verse 5, please stand all over the sanctuary. You've heard it before, but I just believe God takes what we are familiar with and do new things for us. The gospel according to Luke chapter 1, starting with verse 5. And if you're able, please stand for the reading of God's holy word. In the NIV Bible, it reads this way. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well along in years. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot according to the custom of the priesthood to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right hand of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He will never take wine or any other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth." Wow. "Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord, their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." But Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am old and my wife is well along in years." The angel answered, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at the proper time." You may be seated. You may be seated. Zechariah, amen. Our message this morning The title comes straight from the Word of God. The words that the angel spoke to Zechariah. He said, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. And that's the word that God has for us this morning. Do not be afraid. Last week, I mentioned that Christians are afraid. And that's why the topic is covered so many times in the Word of God. God is saying to Abundant Life this morning, I have a great work for you, but do not be afraid. I have a great work for each member in Abundant Life. However, you will not be able to accomplish it if you operate in fear. I have given you my word. Don't you be afraid. However, you must believe it, and you must also apply it as you move in my will. It is often stated that fear is public enemy number one for Christians, for it will cancel out your purpose. It will cancel out your dreams. But remember last week, as a member of Abundant Life and as a body of Christ, we declared and we agreed that we were going to press on with purpose. But as we press on, we cannot be fearful. So God is leading us to a very familiar passage this morning as we look at the journey of Zechariah. So as I've said many times before, fear is a strong emotional reaction to imminent danger, whether it's real or imagined, whether rational or irrational, normal or abnormal. At various points in our lives, fear acts as a protective device placed in us by God, our Creator, to activate our physical systems when we are faced with real danger. See, fear triggers and releases adrenaline in our bodies, which propel us to action. Often called in the clinical world, you're going to either fight, take flight, or you're going to freeze. See, fear is a natural emotion placed in us by God. However, the spirit of fear is not from God. For the Bible tells us what? God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, of a sound mind. Let the church say amen. So as we travel to our morning text in this Gospel of Luke, we're told that this is the longest of the four Gospels. Luke writes to let us know that Jesus really is the promised Messiah. If you want to know about the Messiah, go to Luke. Luke tells us that Jesus is the Son of God. We talked about it in the minister's meeting yesterday, that we must always proclaim the true gospel. And the gospel is Jesus is our Messiah. Jesus is our Savior. Oh, yes, he is. And he is the Son of God. So we can't get that twisted. He is hope. God sent him to be hope for the hopeless. And the Lord who called him also to sit on his right hand. So Luke just points out a few things for us. Jesus, God is fulfilling the first coming. But there will be a second return, and that's what Advent is all about. So this scripture we're reading this morning is so familiar to many of us. The angel Gabriel. I'm going to keep my voice. The angel Gabriel is communicating the divine plan of God to Zechariah. See, these events, all of these events we're going to talk about this morning happened before the birth of Christ. Zechariah, when the angel approached him, was experiencing the spirit of fear. See, there was no real danger at all. Some say Zechariah thought the angel was coming to call out his sin or rebuke him for some reason. But the angel simply said this, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah." See, somebody needs to hear that this morning. See, I don't know what you're dealing with, and I don't know what your fear situation is, but God knows what I don't know and what many of us do not know. That somebody in here this morning must hear this word. Don't you be afraid. Don't you be scared. Basically, what the angel is saying to Zechariah, "Brother Zach, relax. I'm bringing you good news. I'm not here to harm you. God has heard your prayer, and he's answered it. Finally, in your old age, Elizabeth will bear you a son." See, this was good news. He went on to tell him that this son would be special. He told him that this son would be filled with the Holy Ghost from birth. Can you imagine? From the time that he was born, this child would be filled with the Holy Spirit. This child would bring good news to others. He would cause others to be saved and to come back to the Lord. Good news. But Zechariah, not only was fear for you all, come on, Christians, doubt kicked in. So he asked, "How can this be? How shall I know this?" See, I'm old now, and he didn't call his wife old. He said, "She's well along in years." Smart man. Obviously, Zechariah had been praying, but when his prayer was answered, he doubted God could do what God said he would do. Now, come on, start thinking about your own journey. He prayed for something. The angel said, "God has answered." And then he said, "How is it going to be?" See, this is interesting because the Bible tells us that Zechariah and his wife was righteous before the Lord, that they were walking all his commandments. They were blameless, the Bible says. Yeah, it's a great thing when you join together in marriage and you both are connected to the Lord. That's a good thing. The Bible says they walked in God's commandment. The Bible even tells us they didn't just talk the talk. They walked the walk. They did the work, you all. But despite Zechariah's relationship with God, despite his commitment to God, I hope somebody's hearing this, when the angel brought him good news, while he was still in the house of the Lord, he was in the church and the angel brought him good news, he said, "How can this be?" See, this man understood that there was nothing impossible with God, but still, fear and doubt was able to creep into his mind. Any doubters in the house this morning? Don't wave at me and don't wink at me. Because I believe God has a word for you this morning. Obviously, Brother Zechariah was having some challenge with his faith. He loved the Lord, but he was challenged because I believe he was trying to figure it out in his own mind. Somewhere in our Bible, the word says, my thoughts are not your thoughts and my ways. So this is a faith wall. So Zechariah wanted a sign. Show me. And the only sign that God gave him was to mute his speech. He was unable to speak because he doubted until after that child was born. Be careful what you ask God for. And I believe God is saying to us this morning, do not be afraid. Do not doubt. See, you're on this journey with me. You're doing a great work, but I have the greater for you. He's saying, hold on to the promise. It shall come to pass. He's saying to someone this morning, I shall deliver. I shall heal you. I shall make you whole. Just hold on to the promise. I am God and I'm able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you can even ask or think. But you must wait on the Lord and be of good courage. So while I was reading about Zechariah, I began to think about abundant life. Begin to think about Christian church folks, all of us. Not you all who have mastered the spirit of fear. Not you who have mastered doubt. Hold on. Pray for us. However, this message is for some of us that may be struggling with some doubt and some fear this morning. We are believers now. It's not that we're not believers. We believe God, and we believe Jesus is the Son of God. We believe Jesus came that we may have life and have it more abundantly. We believe. We confess that there's power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Yes, we confess that. But every now and then, fear creeps in. Yeah, we declare that the blood still works and the fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. We even say prayer makes the difference. Oh yeah, prayer changes things. Oh, God is able to handle anything. There's nothing too hard for our God. But every now and then, fear, doubt creeps in. We walk with the scripture. You say, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. But fear, doubt, creep in. So the relevant question this morning, how many of us live out what we're saying and talking about? Like Zechariah, when we get a word from the Lord, move this way. Do this for me. Walk in this direction. Do you get fearful because you don't know the outcome? See, God knows his people. That's why I believe he kept saying, fear not. Do not be afraid. I'm your God. I'll be with you. Because he knows us better than we even know ourselves. Too often we're afraid to step outside of our comfort zone. Come on, somebody. We don't want people to laugh if it doesn't go quite right. We don't want people to think that we're crazy. And then we start to talk about the Lord and they say, I know about your sin. God called you to do what? Fear, doubt. Will people laugh? Help us, Holy Spirit. We don't want to be embarrassed. We're beginning to ask ourselves, are we hearing from God? God, is that you? Or is it just my imagination running away with me? any excuse to stand still and be comfortable. Satan has planted and will plant all these negative thoughts in our heads to keep us away from our purpose. Oh, yes, he will. This four-letter word, the spirit of fear, cancels and stops many of us from fulfilling our God-given purpose. Scared. To answer your call to ministry. Fear of walking in your call because it's the unknown. Fear of actually joining the church and be about your Father's business. Fear, just fear getting involved in the life of church because somebody may remember my past or I know my past. Fear because of what a doctor said. So whose report will you believe? People of God, we got to get with this thing. God did not give us the spirit of fear. What have you given up and hold on to and forgotten about because of fear? What opportunities really have you lost? And what relationships have you lost because of fear? So many of us, and this is believers, we love God, but are afraid to step out on faith and trust God and trust his promises. God is saying to someone this morning, don't you be afraid. If I give it to you, I will open every door you need to get it accomplished. So people of God, he's just saying, as we walk on through this year 8, not only in the church, outside of the church, and in your personal life. He's saying we must walk by faith and not by sight. I'm God. I've already made the way. Because, see, I'm a way maker. Don't you be afraid. Don't you be scared. I've called you for a purpose. Walk in it. I've called you. Walk out your purpose, people of God. And don't you be afraid. See, this fear thing is a spiritual force, and it's the opposite of faith. See, faith and fear are directly opposed to each other. So when you get fearful, be mindful that your faith is not working. Faith connects us to the promises of God. And fear connects us to the negative possibilities. So if we're going to live abundantly, we have to be intentional and practice how do we control this spirit of fear. I would suggest to you, you feed it with the word. You feed it with the word daily because, see, the word works if you work the word. The word makes the difference. Does anybody believe it this morning? See, we just have to get with it. We just have to apply it. Now, the spirit of fear first entered earth through the Garden of Eden. Let me just back and just tell you. Life for Adam and Eve before the fall was just so perfect. They was connected to the power source. Their spirit was plugged in to God, who was the source of all life, love, and power. They had it going on, you all. As a result of being connected to him, they had access to everything that God had. And his power was flowing through them. They only knew the benefits of God. However, something happened. When they ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, all of a sudden, they were disconnected from the source. So when God showed up and said, Adam, where are you? What did Adam say? I was in the garden and I was afraid. When you are disconnected from the source, when you are disconnected from God, there's a reason to be afraid, people of God. Trying to navigate in this world with and in this world without God, all this pain and suffering, you have a reason to be afraid. So I would suggest this morning you stay connected to your source. You stay in this word and you work the word. So Holy Spirit, help me try to wind up. So let's look back at the morning text. Before God, because God had connected, he was already connected, Zechariah, his wife to him. Because they were connected, God chose them for a divine purpose in his divine plan. So sometimes despite us, God can still use us. Amen. Because of his unbelief, it did not keep God from allowing Elizabeth to bring forth this son. Because God says this to us, I'm sovereign. I can do what I want to do. Now, it's easier when we walk in the will of God and walk in his purpose, but sometimes when we resist, God moves anyway because he wants his plans fulfilled. Now, he'll let us go through some stuff. Zechariah couldn't talk. God muted him for more than 9 months until that baby arrives. But God said this, because my word will not return to me void. I said that Elizabeth will have a baby. See, when God speaks, what? Something happens. When he said, let there be light, there was light. When he told Moses that the children would go through and be delivered, he delivered them through the Red Sea, even though Moses said, I can't talk. But when God has a plan, all I'm saying, if he has a plan for you, just say yes. Don't be afraid. He will not give you anything to do that he will not equip you for. So later in this chapter, yes, Elizabeth has the baby. The baby is named John. Zechariah is able to speak again. But God showed himself true to his word. I will do just what I said I would do. Because, see, this God that we serve is faithful. Oh, yes. And I can imagine Brother Zechariah saying, how great is my God. Great is thou faithfulness towards me. I can just imagine him praising when that sun arises that there's nobody greater than my God. See, I can search all over. Can't find nobody. Anybody understand that? Nobody greater than our God. But we just have to walk in faith and not in fear. See, I don't have time to give you my testimony. But see, I've been there several times where I just, God, is that you? But in the end, when I said completely yes, there was so much peace, joy, wholeness, just because I decided to follow Jesus and his word. So John came. John the Baptist is the child that God allowed them to have. Crying out in the wilderness. He came before Christ. What did he say? The voice of one crying out in the wilderness. Make straight the path for our Lord and our Savior. Some thought John the Baptist was the Christ, but he told them, I am not the Christ. Someone is coming whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to loose. That's somebody we're going to honor today through Holy Communion. John even baptized Jesus the Christ, the son of Zechariah. Hallelujah. So I believe this morning all of us have a divine assignment, you all. Even our children, our youth. Therefore, how can we apply this word to our lives? Since we know fear is our enemy, we know fear will kill and destroy. We recognize that, and we have to be mindful of that. We must be mindful that we follow this word, and when it comes upon us, say, God didn't give me that spirit. God gave me power. You must commit to walk in that power, that Holy Ghost power. Church, we must be fearless people. We must walk around with a sound mind and love. And remember why Jesus came. He said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. That's not filled with fear, people of God. The word says, let this mind be in you. That's also in Christ Jesus.